At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are we having fun yet? You better be. We're 2 hours down, 1 hour to go, and a lot more hot topics to get to on the Early Line Edition on Tuesday morning, March the 5th. Dancing Shoes in that last hour. Boy, we had some fun covering some of the tournaments that are coming into play today, particularly the Horizon, which we think is going to get some tempo here. But there is a lot of college basketball. And also, as we head towards the end of the week, some teams will be getting their automatic bids. And then into next week, when we start up the big boys in play with the conference tournaments of the mid-majors, the high majors, a great time to be right here on the Sports Grid Network. But also a great time to be, as Joe Ranieri, we like to reach out to the people here and get the gauge of the public on a lot of our polls here, whether or not we want to fade the public or if we're going to take the public's opinion here. That vote this morning was who will win the Western Conference. Three teams were listed. The Nuggets at a plus 180 price, the Clippers at a plus 240 price, the Suns at a 9-1 price, and other, which got 21% of the vote. So once again, the Denver Nuggets, the favorites here. That's who I voted for, 55%. Slow and steady wins the race. They're right there on the heels of OKC and Minnesota. But the question out there, are we fading the Denver Nuggets here in this poll here, Joe Ranieri?
It's so hard to do, but, you know, keep in mind also, it's not easy to repeat, Donnie. A lot has to go your way in order to do it, right? So the odds would tell us that the idea that everybody will remain healthy and all will be good, kumbaya, that they won't have a bad series. It is very possible they don't. They are certainly more than capable and talented enough, this Denver Nuggets team, to run the table. But I tend to believe there's going to be somebody that gets them, and I bet them earlier, and I'm going to stick with it. I still think the Clippers, with a healthy Kawhi Leonard, are the most dangerous team for the Denver Nuggets here, even more so than Minnesota or OKC.
Let's bring in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to a Tuesday morning edition right here of the Early Line Series, XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Fading the public, not something you could probably make some money with the Denver Nuggets at a plus 180 price, taking down 55% of the votes here in the poll, followed by the Clippers, the Suns, and others. So let's start taking a look at some of the other teams listed here outside of the Denver Nuggets. The Clippers, a plus 240 price here to win the Western Conference, followed by the Suns at a 9-1 price. If we take a look at the votes here, 13% of the votes from the public here, Joe, came in on the Clippers here they think are going to win the Western Conference. The Suns at close to 10%. Of the vote, so slightly below the Clippers. Now, there are some similarities, as I talked about before we went to the break. The Clippers have a big three. Right now, we see them on the court on a night-to-night basis, Joe. The Suns have a big three on a night-to-night basis. We don't see the big three out here on the court. So there is a big discrepancy in prices, plus 240 to 9-1. Let me ask you this question. If I can tell you right now, Joe, the Suns will be completely healthy in the playoffs for game number one of their matchup, would that move the needle at a 9-1 price for you here for the Suns?
The problem with the Suns is even if your starting five are healthy, the depth issues on that team was always concerning. It's been concerning since before the season started, whether or not they'd have the big three is really a moot point because it is a marathon. It's not a sprint in order to make it through the West. I mean, you're talking about winning the West, you're talking about a gauntlet of teams that you're going to have to go through. You know, again, health has got to be, if you want one thing to break your way, it's got to be health, right? And Phoenix, in order to bet money on Phoenix, you are betting that for the first time ever, Bradley Beal, you'll be able to count on him, that you will be able to count on the Phoenix Suns being able to remain healthy and have their guys available to them to make a run. If healthy, Donnie, yes, they are certainly capable of beating anybody in a series. But it's not just one series we're talking about here. It's the ability to go, you know, a month here with in some grueling matchups against teams that know you better than anybody. It's not easy, and there is nothing about the Phoenix Suns I trust at this point.
And you're right about that. It's all about that trust factor, because also we see it in so many sports. You can't just turn on the gas with guys that aren't used to playing with each other. I don't care if they're practicing well. You have to get in the game, because we all know this. Superstars on the court, the hardest thing to figure out is there's 30 seconds to go on the clock. Who gets the basketball? Who's upset they're not going to get the basketball? You have 82 games to figure that out. And by the time you get to the playoffs, okay, we know our roles here. We know exactly what we like. We know the go-to guy is. Let's go out and perform, which is why the Clippers right now are getting a lot of these price points much, much lower, because we see it happening on a night-to-night basis. I see Paul George. I see Kawhi Leonard. I see James Harden out there every night. The one thing I don't see for the Suns is Bradley Beal playing with Kevin Durant and also Devin Booker. It's two of the three. It's one of the three. It's never three of the three. So I don't think you can just turn that light bulb on, because if I saw the Suns all season long and say, wow, they're really healthy and they're playing well together, I would give them a bump. And it's a good point you bring up, too, with the bench. Last year, that's the reason why they got knocked out of the playoffs earlier than maybe some people expected. They just didn't have a bench. It was like, hey, Kevin Durant, can you go out there and play 45 minutes and score 45 points? And, oh, Devin Booker, if you want to help out as well. You at least have some sort of bench depth here, but it doesn't matter unless you have the big three going into it. Now, let's take a look at the other market here, which got 22.6% of the vote. And that other market does include Oklahoma City. It does include the Minnesota Timberwolves. Not getting a ton of love here, but actually getting more love than the Clippers and the Suns. A lot more teams involved. Hey, you can include the Lakers and also, what, the Golden State Warriors as well. But the two top guns here. Are we not trusting or giving enough effort here on the Minnesota Timberwolves or OKC here, Joe?
Listen, like we pointed it out earlier in the show, anybody that has followed Minnesota over the last couple of years, they are not exactly a high IQ basketball team either. And they're the issues that they have. They certainly have some talent there. They're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Defense usually travels. That's what makes them difficult. Obviously, you know, Anthony Edwards is an absolute beast. Karl Anthony Towns can beat you. Gobert, they're all playing well. They have remained healthy. But when push comes to shove, do we really trust Minnesota in crunch time to make the right pass, the right decision, the right play? Nothing about it. At this point, we just got to hope Anthony Edwards keeps track of time and doesn't lose it where he shows up late to the game. That would be fantastic as well. Don't trust them here. Plus, I don't trust their offense enough. At some point, you're going to have to drop 120 or 30 points in a game to beat somebody. Can you do that? I doubt that.
If I gave you a certain wager, like let's just say the field, right, which is the other, would be the Pelicans, it would be the Kings, the Mavericks, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Let's just say they're a plus 500 here with that grouping. Would you take them here as a chance for the other to win the actual Western Conference?
Yeah, it's not a bad way to look here, Donnie, because anything is we got a lot of basketball to play, and those teams in the front of them are probably going to beat each other up here down the stretch. That could leave somebody in that other group there with a opportunity to upend a few favorites.
About 20 games left in the NBA regular season. We'll find out who wins that Western Conference. We know what I want to find out about the West. Who wins the NFL? The NL West. Craig Mitchell will help us out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've talked a lot of topics this morning. We took NCAA basketball, the conference tournaments, a little bit of NFL action, NBA action. But you know what's going on right now? Yes, it is March Madness as we get ready to have some fun here filling out our brackets. But before we do that, you got spring training in full here. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri. We welcome in Craig Mitch, our resident Major League Baseball insider here to the program. Good morning. Live from Florida, Craig.
Good morning, Donnie. Yeah, back at the park this weekend. I'll be back there again this weekend. And, you know, it's just, you know, I got to drive like 45 minutes an hour each time. I mean, Joe is lucky. He lives right there. You can't find Joe Ranieri at a spring training game. The guy lives 5 minutes from there. But for me, I got to drive back and forth. Maybe I should Airbnb Joe's house or something like that. I don't know.
Spring training for the amateurs there, Joe Ranieri, the professional. See that? You guys can hook up, have a couple beers here. By the way, did you know coming down later this week for some action is Ben Stevens, Craig? So maybe he can stay over to your house, but I don't know if you want that at this point now.
I know. You know, he actually, you know, again, I do live about 45 minutes away from the Palm Beach Stadium where the Astros and Nationals are, and I live about an hour and 5 or 10 from where the Marlins and Cardinals are. But I hope to see Ben this weekend. I think I'm limited in the amount of games I can go to this weekend because my daughter is in a play. I'm going to try to get there at least once.
There you go. You get somebody to film that play. You watch it on the phone. You're at a baseball game. Everybody wins here. But by the way, that's true.
Good luck with that.
Film it for me and hold it up. Always works well. By the way, if we are talking Major League Baseball, we made our way from the East Coast to the West Coast here in the National League. It's time to talk some NL West action. And always, the Dodgers are at the top of the list. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Giants, Padres, and Rockies. One team in that division I don't really think is trying too hard to win, but my goodness, the Los Angeles Dodgers, money is no object. They won a World Series championship, and they paid for it here in this offseason here, Craig.
Yeah, they certainly did. I don't know. Those Rockies seem like sleepers, Donnie. I mean, all the action they had in the offseason acquiring those dozens of players that they had. Isn't it fascinating, by the way, when you think about it, and you know, Joe certainly could speak to this also, is the fact that that stadium, they basically like sell out almost every game. It's fan friendly. People love going to Denver to watch the Rockies games. And like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of complaining, honestly. Like, where are the Rockies fans like throwing tomatoes at anybody for doing nothing for the last decade? I'm not sure. But anyway, you're right, Donnie. The Rockies are not going to compete. Look, any team I think beyond that can potentially win the division. You know, I saw the Giants there on the board. I don't mean the Giants to me, guys, feel like a team that's just a little desperate and just sort of throwing a little money around to see if they can make it work. Nothing against Jorge Soler and nothing against Matt Chapman and this guy they got from overseas. But, I mean, in the end, do we really think that that's enough to beat out Arizona, to beat out L.A., and to beat out San Diego? So to me, you know, the way that I see it in terms of odds, I would have the Padres ahead of the Giants, and I would actually have the Giants closer to the Rockies there at the bottom. I appreciate the fact that they're trying a little bit harder here, guys, but I don't know that it's enough to get them where they need to be.
Well, let me ask you this here, Craig, because there are still, believe it or not, a couple of big-name free agents that are available. Is there any way that you see somebody in the National League West gets a Snell, even though that's where he's coming from? Is there anybody still willing to go out there and maybe sign one of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. We are sort of down to the end now that Chapman is signed. The two left are Snell and Montgomery. And with the news that broke about 20 minutes ago with Lucas Giolito having, you know, an issue with his elbow, by the way, which is being reported about 15 minutes ago, I can't imagine the Red Sox are just going to stand pat here and open up in their rotation after signing him and maybe getting nothing, at least for the time being. So my guess is one of those guys probably ends up in Boston. But Joe, to your point, I mean, look, certainly the Padres could bring him back again. It feels like the Dodgers are pretty much set at this point. I don't know how much more they can do. The Giants came out and said that they're done. So it would just be San Diego, I would think, at this point. I don't see the Rockies signing any of those guys.
Yeah.
No. You take a look at that NL West here as a whole, because we're spending some money out here trying to get better. That's what we're trying to do here in the NL West. But how about those Arizona Diamondbacks? Last year, basically shot out of a cannon, came out of nowhere, knocked off the Philadelphia Phillies, went into the World Series. Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, some talent in that lineup. I don't want to say can we see a repeat this year, but is it feasible here, Craig, that they could challenge the Dodgers in the regular season?
It's going to be hard to do, but as we've seen in the postseason, it doesn't really matter. Once you get to the postseason, yeah, it's a tournament. It's just like the NCAA tournament. The best teams don't get there. The Dodgers, the Braves, you saw this played out. Baltimore had an incredible run. They got knocked out early too. But as far as the way that the Diamondbacks are built and their team win total is concerned, absolutely this could be a team to buy on. They have a really strong top of the rotation with Gallen and Kelly. You know, made a big free agent signing in Rodriguez in the offseason too. Brandon Pfaadt also really good for them down the stretch too. Is 1-4 is as strong maybe as any team not named the Dodgers going into the season. So I do like Arizona quite a bit, and it does feel like a team that with that win total, Donnie, of 83.5, that if they're in it, they'll push themselves a little bit further down by taking on some salary too, I think, at the deadline. So a lot to like about the Diamondbacks. And it's got to be very daunting looking up at the Dodgers and seeing what they're doing. But if there is one team in that division that can consistently win beyond them, but beyond LA, I think it is the Diamondbacks.
So where does that leave the Padres here? It's not like they still don't have a few big names and some guys that could carry a team here. But it seems like the market has pretty much stuck a fork in them here. What are we thinking about the Padres' chances here this year?
Yeah, like, you know, if the Padres and the Mets, Joe, it's so funny. We were sitting here a year ago and championing those two teams for going out and spending the kind of money that they did. And then it's just kind of like they got rid of the guys, and it's like, all right, it didn't work out. Hader's gone. Snell is gone. Soto's gone. So be it. You know, the strategy for these teams, and for us, by the way, as individuals, that we just, like, congratulate these teams for spending $300 million. And then when they dismantle it all a year later, we don't like say like, what the heck were you guys doing? We just allow it and accept it. Makes no sense to me. Joe, the Padres, that trade for Soto is really going to hurt, man. Like those players that Washington got back in return, I think are going to help Washington for a long time. James Wood looks like a star in the spring. CJ Abrams is already probably a star. They got more players too. They didn't get near the return back for Soto from the Yankees that they did in giving up, I think, the players that they did to Washington. So could the Padres, Joe, could they win 80, 85? I think that number's fair. I don't love it one way or the other. They'll be a competitive team. They're still good enough to fight. They have Bogarts. They have Tatis. They're solid, you know. But I don't have a lean one way or the other on their team win total this year.
Let me ask you a follow-up question here, Craig, on the San Diego Padres, because Seidler, their owner, does pass away. And that was the guy that's really like, you know what, let's spend some money. Let's bring a world championship here to San Diego. Let's challenge the likes of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Still a competent lineup overall. But could this be signaling a change back to what we used to see out of the Padres? Hey, you know what? The Dodgers will come to town. The Dodgers fans will fill up the ballpark. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's great weather. Just come out and watch us here. Or are we going to see spending in the future by the Padres?
Look, it's really hard to say, and I understand the notion behind that last year with their owner wanting to go for it one last time, and I get that, but I don't think it absolves the fact that they just got rid of all the players that they acquired over the last couple of years. I certainly don't like that. You know, the Bogart signing doesn't look as good right now with them moving him to second base. Like, that's pretty clear as well. So I think to your point, yeah, I mean, there's probably some of that, that there's still going to be a lot of people that go to that park. Everyone loves attending Padres games, and I get it. And I do think that they have enough to remain competitive. But beyond those 80 or so wins, I don't see them trading like those contracts of Machado and Bogart. This is like impossible to move at this point. So, you know, they'll be a middling 500 team, I would say, for a while. They probably have to rebuild their farm system. But let's also not kid ourselves. The Padres have done this before. If you remember a few years ago, they went out, they got James Shields, they got Justin Upton. They're like, we're Matt Kemp, we're going for it. And then the next year, they got rid of all those guys again. So, seems like this is what they do.
Win totals here, Craig, in this division. The top of the leaderboard there is the Dodgers, 103.5. The bottom end of it, it's the Rockies at 59.5. Boy, you're going to have some winners and some losers out there in the NL West this year. Craig Mitch, thanks for joining us this morning right here on a Tuesday morning edition of The Early Line. We'll see him on Newswire next. We got a lot more hot topics right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
dancing shoes, put them on. Just not yet for some of these major conferences that we're going to talk about now. It's Donnie Wrightside, it's Joe Ranieri, and it's time to break down the biggest games on the card tonight throughout the NCAA landscape. Now, we've gone over ad nauseum the past week, week and a half, favorites to win the conference tournaments, favorites to win the regular season, favorites to win March Madness here. But if we get these individual breakdowns, we got a great game tonight in the Big Ten, Joe. That is Purdue and Illinois. This game is going to take place at the State Farm Center in Illinois. If we set the stage for this one, we're taking a look as a favorite opening on the line for Purdue at -1.5 points. That has since flipped now to an Illinois favorite at home at -1.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We are expecting points in this game with some good tempo. 163.5 is that listed total. The one thing we know about Purdue and Zach Edey, tremendous force, number one overall, Joe, in efficiency here in Big Ten conference play. But Illinois, no slouch. Right behind them, number two at efficiency on offense. The favorite team tonight is not the higher-ranked team. So do we see another version of home team not ranked as high as the visiting team and favorite taking down Purdue tonight with Illinois?
So here's the then there's you got to ask yourself, why is that, right? Well, here's the deal with Purdue. They've played 18 Big Ten conference games this year, right? But only six of those games have actually come against teams that are projected to be in the tournament, Donnie, right? Guys, teams that are projected to be able to get the bids and that will be in there. And the problem is against those teams, they're 1-5 against the number, just 4-2 against those teams and 1-5 against the number. So what it tells us is that Purdue, as usual, beats up those teams that are less than them and that aren't really tournament bound. But when they play the better competition, they become very one-dimensional and they are beatable. And that's the problem with Purdue here. Now you want them to go on the road and take down a team that has multiple ways to beat you here in Illinois. They've got some of the best shooters in the country here offensively. I mean, Coleman Hawkins is an absolute monster. Shannon is an absolute monster. Any one of these guys at home can beat Purdue. And I think Illinois is the right side here because the red flags are there for Purdue. If you bet them and you lose, you got nobody to blame but yourself here because they have proven against the better teams, they're not as dominant as they are against everyone else.
Yeah, I agree, Joe, with that line movement here, flipping from a favorite from Purdue over to Illinois. I think they can catch them tonight, and also we're going to get some pretty good tempo. It should be a fun game to watch in the Big Ten. And also, you get those little previews here. Like, is Illinois ready for primetime? Is Purdue going to be one of those teams like, oh, look at that. They lost by double digits to Illinois tonight. We can't trust them moving forward. So certainly a fun game to watch. But as we talk about fun, let's head to another conference down south. That's the SEC. Take a look at this ball game tonight, 7 p.m. tip time. That's Alabama and Florida. If you want tempo, you came to the right place. We just talked about a game with Purdue and Illinois here, Joe, at 163.5, which is an astronomical number in college basketball, only to be bested tonight by a 175.5 total here at the FanDuel Sportsbook between Bama and Florida. A slight favorite once again, almost identical movement here. -1.5 as a favorite for Alabama. That's now flipped to -1.5 as a favorite for Florida. And Joe, I actually agree with that as well. We're getting points tonight. What are we looking at for the SEC tilt between Bama and Florida in your eyes?
So as elite as Alabama is offensively, Donnie, they got some serious warts on the defensive side here, which is not usually what we're, you know, Nate Oates is one of the better coaches, usually preaches defense, but they just don't have enough of it here this year. And the meanwhile, the Gators are coming off a tough loss. They will absolutely be fired up for this one. And we have talked about Alabama on the road versus Alabama at home. They are two different things. Even though we just watched Alabama lose at home, that's not a common occurrence here. So I do think this should be a fun game, but don't sleep on the defense of Florida. They have absolutely gotten better as the season has gone on. And by the way, Alabama, very foul happy. They send guys to the line a ton, Donnie, an absolute ton, which means potential free points for Florida, who's a pretty good free throw shooting team. I ain't sweating out an under in this game, but at the same time, Don't trust Alabama on the road in this spot against this team, Florida, looking to bounce back off a tough loss.
Hard to win on the road. We also see that line movement there. Purdue started out as a favorite on the road against Illinois. That has flipped over to an Illinois favorite. Same thing here as we talk about with Alabama and Florida. Alabama opens up as that slight favorite, now showing themselves as a slight underdog. We'll see how these two teams play out, and also, excuse me, two games play out, but also moving forward into March Madness. These things are going to go a long way to say, you know what? Last time I saw these two teams play, and maybe Florida has enough talent to make a run. Maybe Illinois has enough talent to make a run into March Madness. I'll tell you one team that doesn't have enough talent to make a run into March Madness. That's the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as they take on the UNC Tar Heels here in Chapel Hill. This game tips off at 7 o'clock and a monster favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 15.5 points for the Tar Heels going up against the Fighting Irish. A total in this game was set at 138.5. Setting the table for this one, we talked about it when we reviewed the Duke Blue Devils game yesterday against NC State. You needed the Duke Blue Devils to win that game, so they have a chance to win the ACC, at least a partial share of the ACC on Saturday. If North Carolina wins, they hold up their end of the bargain and will at least raise a banner as co-champions here. Should they lose to Notre Dame, that means all the chips will be on the table Saturday at Cameron Indoor Stadium against those Duke Blue Devils. But you just take a look at Notre Dame here, Joe. What do they do well in offense? Absolutely nothing. There's 15 teams in the ACC. They are dead last in offensive efficiency. They turn the basketball over more than anybody else. They don't shoot the three-point shot inside the arc. 14th out of 15 teams at only 46%. Can Notre Dame hang around North Carolina with maybe North Carolina having eyes on the prize of a game coming up on Saturday?
May shock you, but absolutely they can here. I mean, listen, Notre Dame graduated five seniors from last year's team. They didn't get, they lost pretty much anybody else who was an underclassman that had any talent. Why? Because Mike Bray stepped down after, you know, 20 some odd years there. So you bring in Shrewsbury, who is a damn good coach. And can I tell you, yes, their record not great. 7-11 in league play, right? But the problem is what they have gotten better at, not offensively, what they have gotten better at, Donnie, look at the numbers over the last month defensively. They are 25th in KenPom's adjusted defensive efficient ratios. This is a top 25 defense here, which has allowed them to cover 13 of 18 league games that they have played, some conference games here. And yet we're you want to give a team that is a covering machine like Notre Dame, who will play defense big time and cause some problems from Notre Dame. I don't expect Notre Dame to win, but my goodness, 13 of 18 with a top 25 defense tells me they should not be getting 15 points from anybody. So yes, I expect Notre Dame maybe to have North Carolina to have that eye on the next game, but they'll win this game. But I don't think Notre Dame is going to roll over and make it easy for them.
By the way, Kansas playing tonight against Kansas State, the Battle of Kansas tonight at 9 o'clock tip-off here in the Big 12. Fog Allen takes center stage, and Kansas needs to get some momentum going here late stages of the Big 12 season into the conference tournament. They're favoring this game by 10.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total of 142.5. The one thing we know about Kansas State in conference play, they love to shoot the three-point shot. Close to 42% of their total shots come from three-point range. Why is that key? There's 14 teams in conference play. They're number two at doing that. On defense, Kansas, 12th in conference play, chasing you off of the three-point line. So if you're taking a look at how it measures up, no team gives up more percentage-wise from three-point range than Kansas. If you are an underdog like Kansas State, that's perfect. The three-point shot can be the ultimate equalizer, but you're looking at a Kansas team that's probably going to be angry after getting busted up by Baylor over the weekend, returning home. Heavy line, double digits. What do you see tonight, Joe, in this Big 12 battle?
Yeah, well, I see desperation is what I think we're going to see here from a Kansas team here that, let's face it, I mean, they're not used to losing streaks. They're not used to losing at Fog Allen. There's a lot of anomalies this year with this team, but McCullough is going to go for him, and that's obviously the most important part for Kansas, because he really is the glue guy. He is the guy that makes that engine run on. Kansas State, by the way, is not a good road team. They're not. They've looked absolutely terrible in spots. Iowa State, they lost by more than 10. There, Houston, they've lost by more than 10. They don't have anybody to go toe-to-toe with Dickinson. I just think It's Kansas with their back against the wall, wanting a win, needing a win at home, and I think they get it rather easily against K-State tonight.
Take a look at the Mountain West tonight. Big tilt. San Diego State travels to UNLV in Las Vegas to play. They're a slight favorite in this. Opened up as a 2.5-point favorite, and they still sit this morning as a 2.5-point favorite. A total at 135.5. If we take a look at the standings here in the Mountain West, it's fantastic. Why? San Diego State ranked 21st in the country, 11-5 in conference play. The UNLV Rebels, 11-5 in conference play. Five teams here within one game of the lead here with a week to go in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. What gives tonight between SDSU and UNLV?
This is a huge game. I mean, both these teams got a lot to play for here. But it just feels like the home team has got the edge. I would say the same thing if it was reversed. They were in San Diego State. I think UNLV has an edge in this one at home. It matters in the Mountain West. Home court matters, and UNLV has the edge in this one.
Watch out for the Mountain West, too. One of those conferences that many people on the East Coast aren't up late enough to watch, but we just told you how competitive it's been. Maybe some of those teams will do damage and put that glass slipper on for March Madness. But we're going to go to the professional ranks next. The NBA is on deck. A lot of good games tonight. Let's break it down. Don't you go anywhere. The Early Line on a Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The professionals taking the court tonight in the NBA, a very good card set up. And of course, it's our job here at the Sports Grid Network and the Early Line to set you up for success tonight. On your right side, Joe Ranieri, let's get after it tonight. And maybe the biggest game of the night is the last game to tip off, 10 p.m. Eastern, live from Denver. That's the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. But my goodness, what type of game are we going to have here? An opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Joe, at 8.5. That's now risen to 9.5. Could we be seeing double digits before this game tips off? A total that's staying steady at 223.5. Now, as I look at the anticipated starting lineups, we'll start with the Denver Nuggets here. Jamal Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. Looks like all the boys ready to go. Let's see if we can have some fun tonight. And then you take a look at the Phoenix Suns. Oh, I can't wait. They can measure up against one of the best teams in the West. Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, Kevin Durant, Yusef Nurkic. Why? Because Devin Booker expected to be out 7 to 10 days. And I guess when he comes back, Joe, some other superstar on the Suns will be out 7 to 10 days. We might never see this team whole until the playoffs begin if we're lucky, but a monster favorite here for the Nuggets. Do we trust that number, or they've still got some star power there with Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal here in the mix for the Suns?
It's so hard to do. Donnie, we talked about him earlier. It's so hard to trust this Suns team. I mean, you really thought you got the missing piece. You went out and spent all that money, and you went and got yourself Bradley Beal, who's missed 29 games, Donnie, so far. Now Booker's out a week here, and here we go again. No chemistry issues, no depth, and we're supposed to expect them to go on the road. And I love Kevin Durant, don't get me wrong, but I do think there's starting to be some limitations as to what he can do by himself here. The Nuggets have obviously shown us they are going scorched earth. They are making a push at this number one seed here, where the road to the championship has to go through Denver. To me, I mean, it seems like a big number, but is it really? They just lost by 8 at home to OKC. And fell apart late here. I think it's just Denver for me.
I'll tell you, it's wild because the beginning of the season, if you'd have told me right now, like, again, no catastrophic injuries, the superstars for the Suns aren't predicted to be out long term. It's usually like a week to 2 week injuries here, that you'd be getting close to a 10-1 price here, not on the actual NBA championship, but just to win the Western Conference. Most of us would sign up on that. But again, the frustration of watching the Suns, and we talk about the, you know, value in the eye of the beholder, right? You might be getting an absolute steal with the Suns. They show up healthy in the playoffs and are clicking on all cylinders. Like, man, what a great price here. This should have been a 3-1 price, not a 10-1 price. But the fact of the matter is, how many times have we done that, Joe? Jump on the Phoenix Suns with a great price, first round. Like, I'm getting exactly what I thought I would get here. A team that looks uninspired, doesn't know what to do with the basketball, and the superstars aren't used to playing with each other here. We'll see if they factor out. If they get a big win in Denver tonight, I'll be pretty impressed by that. But that line at 9.5 tells you they're probably not going to win with one of the best home teams in the NBA in elevation. Good luck to the Phoenix Suns overall tonight. As we talk about maybe the second best team in the NBA being the Denver Nuggets, you know the top team is. That's the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference going into Cleveland for a 7:30 tip to take on the Cavaliers tonight. They also a heavy favorite. -6.5 is the opening number. That's now ballooned up to -8 here in the favor of the Celtics. A total that's dropped here, Joe. How about this? 222 down to 215. As we take a look at the anticipated starting lineups, no Spider Mitchell here for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if we're looking at the Boston Celtics, Holiday, White, Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis, looks like we're full go. Is this a walk in the park tonight here for the Celtics, or the Cavaliers rise up tonight, at least fight and stay with inside that number?
Well, I'm sure they'll fight, but again, will it do enough here and make a difference? I mean, it's an 11-game winning streak for Boston, Donnie, but maybe even more impressive is that they have won 8 in a row away from TD Garden there, away from there. And so they are actually not just winning games, they're winning games on the road as well. And I mean, we all know what happened against Golden State there. It was just absolutely ridiculous. However, they will be getting a lot more. This won't be the soft defense like the Golden State Warriors played. They are going to be contesting everything. This is going to be a grind them out kind of game. No Donovan Mitchell, right? I think still they said he might miss a couple of games here. Listen, Boston should win this game, but I do think it's going to be a lot more difficult here than what we have seen recently from the Celtics. I think the Cavs bring it. I think the under is in play here tonight.
Yeah, it's a pretty low number as well, but also factor on Styles here. What are we going to get out of the Cleveland Cavaliers? Can you get in the track meet with the Celtics? You don't want to do that. So slower tempo might work in their favor, but certainly getting close to 8 points, maybe even 8.5 at some outlets at this point for those Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's move it out here and go down to the state of Texas. That'll be a game between the Indiana Pacers and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks, losers of 4 of their past 5 games, just losing to the Sixers over the weekend without Joel Embiid, but they are favorites tonight at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Opened up as a 4.5-point favorite and currently sit as a 4.5-point favorite. You want tempo? You're going to get some tonight. 247.5 is that opening number at FanDuel. Now down to 246. The Mavericks, sooner or later, got to start to turn on the gas. Can they hit that gas pedal tonight, Joe Ranieri?
Well, it certainly feels like it should be an over game, right? But both of these teams absolutely need, they need a win here. I mean, the Pacers are just, they're losing games to the Spurs. Like, what are we doing? They allowed the Spurs to shoot 54% and 40% from three. If you do that with Dallas, how are you coming back here? You're not, is the bottom line. So I do think both of these teams are very similar from the standpoint of the coaches are screaming and saying, listen, we're all, you know, we're trying to put ourselves in a position here in order to make the playoffs and make a run, but we can't do it if we're not putting on any effort in the defensive side. Kidd has talked about it. Rick Carlisle's talked about it. Will it matter in this game? Well, here's the deal. Whoever gets a couple of stops in the fourth quarter, Donnie, is probably going to win this game. I would much rather be looking at the total and expect the points to be rolling here, especially in the first half, maybe. A little first half over as both teams try to show how dominant offensively they can be. I'm not expecting a big defensive effort, no matter what the coaches say. I think the full game over, too, is in play.
Joe, firmly in the playoffs right now in the Western Conference, you're probably going to look at what? The Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, and the Clippers, all within 3 games of each other trying to fight for that top seed. Then they have that second shelf. It's the Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns. The reason I bring that up is because you take a look at the Dallas Mavericks, currently 8.5 games out of the lead in the Western Conference. They're not going to get that, but only a game back from trying to catch the Suns as that 6th seed. I'll ask you this question today with 20 games to go. Do the Dallas Mavericks get out of the play-in round? Is it feasible that they can do that?
Like you said, they're not that far out, right? I mean, they entered, yesterday's the game. I think they're just a game behind Phoenix and the Kings, and that's the number 6 seed, right? So 1 through 6 qualify for the playoffs. 7 through 10 have to have the play-in game. The Pacers are in the same thing. The Pacers right now, I believe, are a half a game behind the Orlando Magic for the sixth seed. So both need wins. They got to start racking up some wins. Now, this isn't obvious. This is out of conference. You got Indiana, and this is certainly not a big Western Conference matchup or an Eastern Conference matchup. So when push comes to shove, I don't know how much maximum effort we might get, since it's not really going to matter to where they sit right now. But a win is a win, and both teams need it. And both teams would much rather have the sixth seed than the eighth seed.
To the Garden we go. That's going to be the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a -4 point favorite here for the Knicks. Now it's turned into a 3 point favorite for the Knicks. 215.5, another low total. The one guy we know is not showing up tonight, and that's Trae Young. So DeJounte Murray certainly will lead the charge once again for the Atlanta Hawks. We do see an estimated starting lineup for the Knicks, and it does include Jalen Brunson, but certainly that number is going to move accordingly whether or not he plays. Knicks at the Garden tonight after a big-time win where Brunson basically played 30 seconds, and they still won that game in Cleveland. Can we look for back-to-back performances here by Tibbs boys with picking up a win here for the New York Knicks?
Oh, boy. That's a big ask. I mean, obviously, both teams are down star quarterbacks here at this particular point. But DiVincenzo, to your point, Josh Hart, my goodness, did they step up the minute that Brunson went down here? And they're going to have to keep doing it. There's no way around it here, Donnie. These guys are going to have to keep showing up and showing out. It's another game in which the total hovering around that 215.5 mark, and it's going to be either DeJounte Murray or what for Atlanta here. I don't ever like Atlanta on the road, but I do think they're a better defensive team. At least the numbers show they're better defensively without Trae Young, but they're not as good offensively. That goes without saying. So it's another one of these games where physicality, maybe not a lot of tempo. I'm expecting this thing to go under as well.
Take a look at these standings here. The New York Knicks currently right now in the 4 seed in the East. But as we know, things could change. Why? You go down to the Pacers, who are 15 games back of the Boston Celtics, to the Knicks, 12.5 games back. That's from the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds here. You need to get every single win you can right now for the New York Knicks until the rest of your starting lineup comes back, and that will be a start tonight as you are favored against the Atlanta Hawks. Let's move it over to Brooklyn here. Keep it in the city, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers on the road to take on the Nets. The Sixers opened up as a slight favorite here overnight at -1. They're now showing up as a -2.5 point favorite, and other outlets currently showing 3s and 3.5s here. The total, once again, extremely low at 217. Taking a look tonight between the Sixers and the Nets. What gives for you here, Joe?
Sixers playing what? Looking for their third straight win here tonight. And my goodness, what the hell was that, Brooklyn, last night against Memphis? Like, what was that? That was just absolute. You were a 9-10 point favorite, and you got beat by a team that has G League players. Absolutely amazing. Do I trust them to bounce back? Absolutely not. Second of a back-to-back, you've got the Sixers playing much better. I'm not running to the window to lay anything with road teams here, but I mean, current form tells us Sixers, they might have found a little something here finally without their big man. I trust them more than I trust the Brooklyn Nets for sure.
Yeah, taking a look here at some of those price points here to win the NBA championship. The Sixers now were 30-1 last week, now up to 39-1. If we take a look at the anticipated starting lineup tonight, it's interesting for the Sixers here. They signed Kyle Lowry a few weeks back. They actually gave him like a week and a half to ramp up before they even put him on the court, but he's now been in the starting lineup here. Lowry, Maxey, Hield, Harris, and Mo Bamba, the anticipated starting lineup tonight. 39-1 price here. We take a look at the Sixers in the standings, just behind the New York Knicks by a half game for that number 4 spot. As we're talking about these teams scrambling, trying to get every single win they possibly can get. Which brings me up to the next question. You take a look at the Sixers and the Knicks. You know the team they are right now is not the team that they hope to become playoff time. The Philadelphia 76ers getting Joel Embiid back and healthy for a playoff run would be huge. The same thing for the New York Knicks here as we line up, keeping Jalen Brunson healthy, but also getting back OG Anunoby and Julius Randle. Any one of those two teams, because you get big price points on them, Joe, worth a flyer to trying to turn a ticket into money come playoff time. Would you do that?
I'm not opposed to the Philadelphia look here, Donnie. I'm really not. And I think what we're going to see even here tonight is we're going to start seeing them put some things together here with Maxi and Tobias Harris and company. I think they, of those teams on the outside looking in, I think they're worth a flyer here because I think they can be dangerous.
Teams on the outside looking in as well. Those Miami Heat will be playing the Detroit Pistons tonight as a heavy double-digit favorite. They're close to getting out of the play-in round and into the playoffs, which is going to be huge here. So a lot of teams on that back end of the Eastern Conference that we're looking forward to. These teams need to make a charge up to the top, see if you can cash in some of those big tickets. One more segment to go on a Tuesday edition of the Early Line. It's Joe and Donnie. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final example of how we can bring you money today. Yeah, we got it right here in this segment right here. And I know I'm here to bounce back. I know I'm here to provide the people with the funds they need. And so is Joe Ranieri. So let's have some fun in this segment and give the people some best bet winners, which yesterday I set mine up, Joe, and said, hey, you know what? Watch this. The Lakers are a really good play tonight, but I don't want to take the Lakers. I'll take LeBron James. That fell flat yesterday. So tonight, I'm going to go to college basketball. We previewed five games here on the card today on the early line. I'm going to go out to Kansas and the Fog tonight. A total that's listed at 142.5. I'm going over the total tonight. Look, we know Kansas State doesn't play with a lot of tempo, but I do think Kansas has the ability to score against Kansas State and also Kansas State's ability to shoot the three-point shot, which could be the ultimate equalizer. I'm not laying 10.5 points with Kansas tonight. I'm taking the total over 142.5 in the Battle of Kansas tonight in the Big 12, Joe Ranieri. Where are you going for the people tonight to cash in some tickets?
Ooh, all right. Well, then listen, if you're going to go big showcase matchup here tonight, I'll head to the Big Ten because I think Purdue's in trouble.
Yeah.
Going to go Illinois here tonight to get it done. Again, we're talking about a Purdue team, 1-4 ATS over the last five. They have consistently shown us an inability to dominate equal or better competition here. And Illinois is going to be fired up. Far too much talent and firepower for Illinois here. Zach Edey is going to have his work cut out for him. I like Illinois at home here in a short number. I just taking them on the money line to get it done against Purdue.
There you go. Big night of college basketball tonight, which also included some of the early previews for the mid-major conferences getting underway to try to put on their dancing shoes. And a final bit of NFL tidbits before we get out of here. Some big news in the markets here of who's going to be a free agent and who's not. Brian Burns of the Panthers has been tagged today by the Carolina Panthers. Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants will head to free agency as he will not be tagged by the New York Giants. That'll do it for the show today on a Tuesday. You know what? The Early Line. Going to be back once again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your day.